Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Am I adequately heard in the rear of the room? Wait, oh, they see me. Okay. As Mike said, Mike's an author on this paper as well. You will see the roster of the Southern Weed Science Society here. This project is very much a joint project. There are people who are or have helped in this project that don't even appear here. One of these, of course, is Harold Coble with USDA IPM, who helped us with the strategy and helped us get approval from EPA. The project is jointly sponsored by CPRO, the proprietor of Fluridone, which for terrestrial uses will be Brake herbicide. In addition, it was a really instrumental persuasion from Don Parker of the National Cotton Council that helped get this program moving. The individuals that you see, with the exception of myself, put out experimental locations. Ken Smith was the project manager working with CPRO. Ken has now moved from the University of Arkansas to another company. I've been asked to give the presentation. And advance. Whoops. Okay, we may be advancing. All right. I think this audience is very familiar with glyphosate-resistant Palmer. If you see this situation, please do something. Even if you're in a situation where these are merely escapes for another reason than resistance, I advise you to act because the consequence is this. And that's the second year. This is typically when we're asked to come in, but we really can't stop it because that's next year and that's what you've got. So we have a distortion of the weed flora over much of the southeastern mid-south, humid region, the southern region of the U.S., because we were in a situation that was dominated by the use of glyphosate, which had broad-spectrum weed control, and we had one extremely prolific weed that it did not control. So when you have this situation, you've got 3 years of hard work. And what it's left us with is this kind of situation. This is a slide I've adapted from Dr. York. We went from spending $20 to $25 in herbicides to over 70. And we now have a heavily loaded program, a lot of conservation tillage in the southeast. We'd use a glyphosate 2,4-D burn down program and then come in to clean up with gramoxone at planting plus reflex typically or Dyrex. There are other options here. But then you're going to have three additional post treatments, two broad cast post, and typically one as a lay-by treatment. And really, the Mid-South was similarly invaded about 3 years later, and it has the same kind of situation. And because there's conservation tillage there, and generally conventional tillage, it's really a somewhat more involved program in that we have to use reflex a little bit differently. It has to be used pre-plant. We have to wait. Then you've got to come in with another set of pre-emergence herbicides. And then, once again, we've got a set of three post-emergence treatments. That's a consensus recommendation in the Mid-South, and that's a lot of chemistry. So we're looking at a lot of chemical loading, a lot of chemical use, a lot of applications, and a lot of cost. So we have additional impediments. If you look at most of our pre-emergence herbicides, they also have some loss of efficacy in some areas to resistance. For example, we know we have DNA resistance in South Carolina. I've been reminded that we also have it in West Tennessee. Not good. The PPO herbicides are under tremendous pressure. Many of us have said several times that the next thing that we have to be very careful not to lose are the PPO herbicides because they're really the stoppers used as pre in cotton and post in soybean. And should we lose this class of chemistry, we will be in serious difficulty indeed. Then we have difficulties in some areas with the photosystem II inhibitors. And if this should be general, it would be a major impediment for us across the system, also involving corn, which wouldn't be of any help. So, moving right along. One of the things that EPA has been highly sensitized to by the activities of WSSA, they are really aware of the situation that we are facing and potentially facing with loss of herbicide modes of action to resistance. And they are very sympathetic to try to do something about this strategically. So we approach them about the possibility of bringing in a mode of action, carotenoid biosynthesis. These are the so-called bleaching herbicides that are little used in cotton. And we feel that this would have, for instance, a fluridone product would have real advantages for us, and that it's a pre-herbicide where we have very much emphasis on our current programs. We have excellent cotton tolerance. This is really something that you'll see throughout the work here. And it has long soil residual. So we thought we had the possibility of trying to eliminate some of these later residual programs and thereby accrue a saving. Okay? This is a demonstration from Dr. Norsworthy's lab of the tolerance. This is representative of the upper range that we'd be using and done in a greenhouse assay where we would typically pick up problems with phytotoxicity if it were to be found, and it's not. And this is our target. It's a little bitty thing, bleached Palmer amaranth seedling. This was taken in South Carolina. I was in the field when it was taken. And fluridone has excellent activity on pigweed, including on glyphosate-resistant pigweed. So, to reiterate, in 2012, we have received rather small Section 18s in the states of Arkansas and South Carolina, about 1,000 acres each. One of the things this enabled us to do was to make a better evaluation of the program. That is the tolerance and contemporary varieties and how we would now use fluridone in a system with other herbicides and what would we do and what could we eliminate. Okay? So, there were a total of 21 small plot trials sponsored at universities. CPRO did an initial 13, some at their own location, and some of those were for crop tolerance and looking at carryover. And then the basic premise here is, as we said, to evaluate fluridone as a pre-emergence component of a cotton weed management system. Now, this is Whitaker's is the CPRO farm. This is a loamy sand. And what you're going to see is a demonstration of the pre-emergence activity and its duration at the quarter pound rate. Now, this area received good rainfall all through the growing season. And in fact, these treatments were easily activated. And we know that with pre-emergence herbicides, we obviously need water for activation. All right? Here we go. 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and I could have taken that out to 10 weeks and it looked just as good. We lapped cotton and we were fine, but I have to be fair and show you what else was in the field at the same time. So the pre-emergence treatment standard rates, okay, here we go, boom. You see the break, and the others are holding up with the exception of Prowl H2O. Not surprising to people that are familiar with these systems. Reflex probably running a little longer than we would expect. That basically we're still getting very good on this site, very good activity from Cotteran Reflex, maybe a few breaks. But obviously what we're trying to show you here is break is really clean, continues to be. And we're looking at 8 weeks, 8 weeks of activity. And it's actually did run longer at the site. Now, is that just a fluke? No. This project was done over a broad area. This was at Roar and furrow irrigated, you know, probably not as complete a distribution of water and activation as we'd like, but I think the you can obviously see, and then we didn't cherry pick these. These are pictures from, I think, representative locations in the Mid-South when activated. There's really very good pre-emergence activity from break, making a significant contribution to the system. All right, similar kind of situation if you look at southeastern systems. Once again, you can read these treatments as easily as I can. We're looking at planting in April, and the photo here is about 60 days later, and in very good activity, certainly competitive activity. Okay? Now, this reviews the general protocol in the southeastern systems. I think you can read as well as I can. It's break at a series of rates, a series of post-emergence treatments comparable to what we saw before together with lay-by. And this is basically what you got. If you look at the rate that we think would be a conservative rate for coarse textured soils, coastal plain soils, that's break at 2 versus Cotteran, very comparable to slightly better activity. This is aggregated across probably about 10 sites. But what we found is the nature of Palmer amaranth is if you have escapes in the system, you're stuck. So we do need to have the additional treatments, as we've indicated. All right? That was a finding. We really have to use the other post treatments in there for cleanup. All right? And if you look at this rate-wise against Cotteran, one of the things that we think is good about this is if you look at, for instance, the full pros program and the break rates, we probably can go to some pretty low rates. So there's some opportunities where with on coarse textured soils where we have good activation by rainfall, either by natural precipitation or the irrigation systems, that this, I think, has a very good fit, potentially quite a low rate on those soils and in those systems. And moving right along, we look at the same kind of thing in a Mid-South context, a little bit different approach, a little bit different rate structure, and I'm not talking about the Southeast program. Really similar kinds of results, somewhat more variability in the results, but overall, the way the season shook out, we had a dry start in the Mid-South. We had much weather, we really blessed in having this wetter weather in the Southeast, and in general, we had good and better activity in the Southeast in our system. So, my timer is telling me strange things, and it tells me I have 7 minutes. Well, I have 3 minutes left. Excellent. I'm almost right on time then. These are the points. The question was, what did we learn? Well, these are what we learned. We believe that the break programs that we observe are equally good or better than programs with standard pre-emergence herbicides. In the Southeast, in general, treatments perform better, and this is because of the environment. We had more rainfall. And the Mid-South, basically we had performance when we had supplemental irrigation because we had a dead drought for most of May when most of the cotton was planted and treatments were going out, typical of many pre-emergent herbicides. We confirmed in the field at every location that we really have excellent cotton tolerance. That is clear. I think that's a clear advantage for this herbicide. Then we have excellent residual control. The residual control of break is clearly as good as any of the products that are now registered. And in looking at these systems, both in the small plot and in the work that was done with growers, it's first principles, as articulated by many, including Ken Smith, who really programmatically made us aware of some of this through his extension programs. With pre-emergence programs for Palmer pigweed, you must start clean. If you do not, the pre won't work. You cannot use a pre-emergence herbicide as a post-emergence herbicide. Then our activation depends on moisture. We've learned a little bit about that. We would like to learn more. And we confirm that if we have escapes in the system for any reason, you must come in and remedy this quickly or you will shortly be in serious trouble. Those are the points that I wish to make. There are others that have worked on this project in the room. Perhaps if we have time for discussion, they may want to raise some of these issues. Sir.
Time for questions?
Sir.
Hey, Bob, you can answer this, or maybe Mike can answer this. What's, in terms of the South Carolina growers that actually used this herbicide break under the Section 18, what were their experiences with it? Positive, neutral? Can you comment on that? I guess Mike, you didn't know that.
At least one of the growers I worked with, the experience was very positive. There was a couple that I didn't work with directly that they had mixed results. They thought that the break should have lasted longer than it did. But I think initially it worked good when they put it out and they got it activated properly. The grower I worked with, he disked it in. They applied it and then they cross-disked it. So. And that field was a disaster field last year in 2011. It was a soybean field that they bush hogged. because it's solid pigweed. So.
And I'm assuming those were dryland fields for you,
yeah.
South Carolina.
Yeah, they're dryland fields.
The big difference, I was, you know, Jason, I was at both locations in Arkansas and in South Carolina, and the big difference was rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it rained in the coarse textured soil, it worked at a low rate. In the Mid-South, there was less rate response. It was really rain response. I think probably we'll need slightly higher rates on some of the silt loams than we will on the sandy loams. But the difference is, when it rains, you have activity from a pre-emergent herbicide. That's the answer.
All right.
People have been overwhelmed, I guess. So.
Thank you, our speaker.
Thank you. Yeah.